views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
You know that moment when you realize you have mastered your wellness. When you become so resilient, you can conquer any hiccup life throws you. Yeah, well, me either. But I still ride unicorns. I'll teach you how to become a mindset master. You will learn how your habits and behavior affect your success in nutrition, exercise, relationships, organization, and so much more. It's your reality, and you need to do it your way. Self-care and self-love are anything but selfish. Take charge. Get excited. If not now, then when? Grab your espresso and get ready to talk all things wellness. It's time for Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with Coach Peggy Wilms right now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Couch and Coffee Radio here on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Coach Peggy, and we get together, as you know, every single Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, and we talk all things wellness, because that's life, all things wellness. So whether it is nutrition or exercise or organization or relationships or your spiritual path, like we are talking today, that's what we talk about. So I always check to see if everybody has their favorite mug. Mine is always a unicorn mug. So mine today says to stay magical. And my guest, Rob Baines, do you have your mug today?
Yes, I do.
Do show. Oh, it says Mr. Baines. Yes, that's very nice. Now, Rob doesn't drink coffee. No. He doesn't drink coffee, and so his is full of water. That's right. Okay, so let's talk about Rob Baines. Our topic today is going to resonate with all of our listeners in one way or the other, regardless of whatever belief system, that's the black hole, God, whatever Buddhism, whatever your belief is, or just meditating yourself, it's going to resonate in some way for you. He has spent the last 30 years dedicated to the pursuit of spiritual growth and trying to become very much closer to God. He is the author of Spiritual Health, Understanding the Key to Spiritual Growth and the Functions of Religion. His insights most often in this book are related to very personal experiences. You guys will really love the book. He has a Bachelor's of Arts in Religious Studies from the University of Alberta in Canada. So nice to connect to your country. And he wanted to write a book that was very clear and concise, regardless of any of our comprehensions of any specific knowledge of the spiritual world or religion. And I think you did an absolutely fantastic job.
Thank you.
Okay, so you are going to talk to us, and welcome. How does it feel that you're going to be here today?
Feels good. Thank you for having me.
Excited. Yeah. Okay, so what did I not cover in your past, or what's led you to writing this book that you'd like to share? Did I miss anything?
I was going to briefly touch on a few key things that led me to writing the book.
Okay.
For me, it began at an early age with an interest in health and fitness. I began weight training when I was 12 years old. I had this innate determination and discipline at a young age. My passion for the spiritual dimension of wellness began around age 21. When I watched a movie, it was sparked by watching a movie about the life of Jesus. And then from the age of 22 to 30, except for working and exercise, I basically lived like a monk. Meditating, reading spiritual books, embracing.
At that young of an age.
Oh, yeah. Embracing celibacy at that young of an age. And then from age 30 to 34, I was at the University of Alberta studying for a degree in religious studies. And that went really well until the very end when I was very burnt out.
Yeah.
And then the next 6 years would be a kind of a difficult time. And that I now understand to have been what the Christian mystics call the dark night of the soul. And then when I came out of that, life became wonderful things started to happen. And I had a breakthrough spiritual experience on December 12th, 2008. It's very hard to describe. I tried to describe it in the book the best I could. For anyone who is familiar with Eckhart Tolle, mm-hmm. and the experience that he described in the introduction to The Power of Now.
Yes.
It was similar to that experience, except I was conscious for the whole experience. And what I experienced was kind of like being crucified on the cross, but I was spared the pain. So the end result was similar. It was just a still mind, like no more mental chatter. It's very beautiful.
So 11 years ago, and you were, what environment were you in when this occurred?
I was in my apartment.
Just in the apartment.
Yeah. Okay. I had just gone down to do some exercise, actually, and it just happened. Okay. I had had an amazing dream the night before, and things had been happening for a couple weeks before, meditation-wise, this amazing things and that had led to that point, that had prepared me. Well, many years had prepared me, but yeah. And then and then January of 2009, I began writing the book. But I discovered when I got to the last section that I wasn't able to finish it properly, that I wasn't ready.
Okay.
And it was mostly because of a lack of understanding of our spiritual heart.
Okay.
And as fate would have it, a few months later, I was led to the teachings of a teacher who specialized in the spiritual heart. So the next...
Can you explain more of just that detail of what that is for those of us who don't understand the specifics of spiritual heart? What do you mean specifically about that? Can I make sure, Rob, I think your microphone might be dragging on your shirt. I just want to make sure. I'm not sure because it's kind of scratchy. But yeah, we'll see how that goes on. Thank you. I just want to be able to hear all your important words.
Okay. Well, we all have a physical body and we all have a spiritual body. For people familiar with the New Testament, Paul writes about that in his letters. And we all have a physical heart, and we all have a spiritual heart.
And that heart,
okay.
That makes sense. Yes, that makes sense. Okay, perfect. I'm with you.
So the next 3 years would be an education about the heart, an education grounded in direct experience. So I was guided to directly experience my spiritual heart, my soul. And even after much preparation to directly experience my true self. So then the years 2013 to 2018 was a time for the other areas of your life that are important to your overall wellness falling into place. Relationships. I got married, the birth of my son, career. Promotion in my job of the last 15 years into more of a management role, finances. My financial situation improved greatly at the end of that period. And then in January of 2019, exactly 10 years after I started writing the book, I finally felt it was time to finish it. And that brings us to the here and now. Happy to talk to you about them.
That is quite a process. Okay, fantastic. I want to, I want to delve into, you went to school for specific religious studies. And for me, reading the book, it feels like there was a crossover between the specific religious studies per se for you, and then this spiritual path and the more, you know, guided in a different direction. So I'm anxious to hear about that. So go into the next part that brings us through this.
Well, I would like to actually start by clarifying the term soul and spirit, because I know, like, I wasn't raised within a religious tradition, even though my mother was from a Catholic background. So my 20s were about the spiritual stuff. I mean, I was fascinated by religion and spiritual right from the start. It really was right from the start for me, the both. Let's get back. I really like to. I know reading all those books in my 20s and all these different authors writing about using the word soul and using the word spirit in different ways, sometimes interchangeably, sometimes not, sometimes with capital S's, sometimes not. I know I found it confusing.
Right.
So after those experiences, you know, I feel that I can share clearly, you know, how to define those terms.
Gotcha.
And how I would do that is by saying that our soul is a vehicle for our spirit to experience both physical and non-physical dimensions, just like our body is a vehicle for our soul and spirit to experience life on earth. Mm-hmm. Right? And the seat of our soul is the center front part of our head. It is related to the pineal gland and what has been called our third eye. Mm-hmm. So that old saying that our eyes are the windows to our soul resonates because it is true. Mm. And our spirit, or our true self, resides in part within our spiritual heart. And at the very core of our true self is a divine spark, the light within us. So that the greeting, the namaste greeting, mm-hmm. which means I bow to the light within you, mm-hmm. is about that light. That is the light. And when the holy books speak about God being within us, like for example, when the Bhagavad Gita says, God dwells in the heart of all beings, mm-hmm. it is speaking about that spark of divinity, that true essence that at the core of our being.
Gotcha. Clear for me. Clear. So,
and to quote one of my favorite sentences in the book, religion is meant to awaken us to our connection with the source of life and to facilitate the awakening of our true self.
That's beautiful.
So that spark is the only part of us that is pure. Our soul is definitely not pure. Mm-hmm. And our true self is not perfect either. It's important to understand that. Life is a facility for spiritual growth, the growth of our spirit, for the awakening of our true self, so that we can learn what we need to learn and realize.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's awesome. Okay, so when I read the book, for me, because I think I was explaining to you earlier when we chatted, and I was sharing to you how much I liked the way you wrote the book, because I do believe it's clear and concise, and the way you took us through the journey and your transparency to it. And it's a lot to take in one book. I mean, it's 30 years to put in a book. I think you could write 3 more books beyond this book. But the way you come from this structural religious per se image that maybe even I'll speak to myself have, and then the way you explained the principles of Buddhism, and then you went into that spiritual path of that we can kind of own. It's not a scary place or a woohoo place. It just has all this kind of mystical area that we all are a little bit nervous about. I thought you did a beautiful design of kind of compartmentalizing that, but also intertwining them. Mm. Really. Yeah. You did a good job. Okay. So we have, I know you mentioned 2008, that there was this, because I mean, that's 11 years ago, and it's 2019, your book just came out. So I know I'm kind of going off the cuff here. So 11 years, what did it take for you to have for growth, or just to get your spark to put this in writing for us instead of, you know, 3 years from that initial kind of spark you had, experience you had in 08?
Well, it began like 1 week after that experience. I awoke one morning and feeling very early in the morning, feeling wide awake and determined. And while having a shower, the inspiration came suddenly. And I was, as soon as I got out of the shower, I was at my desk writing out an outline for this book with three sections. So, and it came in the early part of 2009, it came poured out of me. But as I said, I wasn't ready to finish it at that time. I had to learn about the heart. I had to go through other life stages to be totally ready.
That's awesome. Okay. All right. So let's talk about how do you want to move, transition us? And I'm definitely going to want to have you back on the show, because I think going into some of these parts deeper will make more sense. This is just the frosting. Can we talk about the heart specifically, and talk about just moving into that section of, gosh, what did you call it? I'm trying to think of the heart. You just covered it for me.
Well, could we discuss the three primary functions of religion, and then the third?
Yes, you.
I'll try and go quickly.
No, you're okay. Take your time. Okay. However it flows for you.
So I believe that there are three primary functions of religion. And the first of those functions is to awaken and maintain in us an experience of awe, humility, and love for that ultimate mystery that transcends all names and form. For us to learn to feel the direct love connection that we have with our source through our inner heart. I like to use the word true source, but whatever word, you know, a person's comfortable with. And, but unfortunately, most of us are not taught about that connection properly at a young age. Mm-hmm. So we grow up and go to school, and we understandably become more and more mind dominant. So that leads into what I consider the second primary function of religion, which is to aid us in purifying and transforming our minds, right? To raise our level of awareness, to help accelerate growth in our consciousness. So, and for me, I believe there was three main factors that helped me to have that experience. That would be regular practice of meditation, regular practice of mindfulness, and reading Eckhart Tolle's, what he had to say about stilling the mind and transforming the mind, and listening to him speak about it too. So I share in the book meditations I would do, and I emphasize how I always use prayer with the meditation. And especially one key verse from the New Testament, from Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he says, "Let that mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." So I would often pray, and particularly when I was meditating, you know, "Let that mind be in me, which was in Christ Jesus." I believe that prayer and that faith that it was possible was a big part, you know. And I shared in the book how for 3 months after that experience, life was wonderful. Like I was in and out of a state of bliss. But then things like, you know, selfish desires, sexual urges, my stuff began to resurface. And at first I was a little confused, you know, why this was happening after such a transformative experience.
Right.
But it wasn't long into my education about the heart that I understood. And so now I can share with people that our stuff is not stored in our minds. It's stored in our spiritual hearts. Mm-hmm. layers upon layers of stuff, some of it from yesterday and some of it very ancient. Mm-hmm. So that leads into the third primary function of religion, which is to help us to learn how to open and cleanse our hearts.
Love that.
Yeah. And there's only one thing that can cleanse our hearts, and that is God's love. No ascended master, no angelic being, and certainly no human being can do anything to cleanse our hearts. And on the other side of that, no other being can do anything to dirty our hearts either. Mm. We are solely responsible for our stuff. It is not what happens to us in our lives that leads to a less than pure heart, but how we react to what happens to us.
Right. Right. Our attitude and our reaction. Oh my gosh. Okay. I heard somebody say a couple of weeks ago that our mind isn't the best master, but our heart is. And our minds get us in trouble, don't they? All right, let's talk about, we're going to just barely be able to brush over the top of heart meditation, and then we're going to have you back for a part two. But what would you share as kind of the cream of the crop in regards to that?
Well, when it comes to the heart, I would share two things. Specific prayers, learning to pray for your, we have free will and we need to ask for help. We need to pray for our hearts to be cleansed. So I share in the book one specific prayer, you know, praying for all anger and related negative energy to be cleansed, to be removed, to be replaced with God's love. Like a simple prayer can really have a big effect. And then the other thing I shared is, like, after that transformative experience, my meditative practice became focused on just feeling that love, you know, being that feeling of being loved so deeply and completely. And I say, you know, this could be called a heart meditation, where you sit, you relax. A good thing to learn is to touch your heart to help, you know, direct your attention to your heart. Closing your eyes is good to reduce the activity of your brain, you know, having your spine straight, but just being relaxed and comfortable. And then just do nothing. Just relax and feel the love that is flowing, and it's always flowing naturally through the top of our head, throughout our hearts, through our whole being. And just to feel that love and to be grateful. That's the essence of a heart meditation.
Right. We make it so complex, don't we?
We are complicated beings. Our minds love to make things really complicated, have complicated theology. But our hearts, when it comes to our heart, it really is quite simple. Our hearts love smiling, a heartfelt hug, a simple prayer. That's what our hearts love.
I love that. I love that. My heart feels so, I love listening to you talk because you calm me down just talking to you. That's how you can tell. That's how I always say as a coach that you can really tell when something resonates with somebody or it's their passion, because the blood pressure of everyone just comes down because it's their groove. So can we tell the listeners, I know that you're going to give away to our first caller your book, a copy of your book. So let me announce that right now. The number is 1-800, I always have to look, 1-800-930-2819. So first caller for Rob's book. And then can you tell everybody how they might be able to find you so they can hear more about you?
Oh yeah, so I created a Facebook page for the book. You can find it on Facebook, Spiritual Health. You can imagine there's other pages called Spiritual Health. So
right.
Spiritual Health 2019 is the way it'll come up for you.
Okay.
So you can follow there. That's where I'll post a lot of stuff about the book and spiritual things. I have a Twitter account, @RMBaines. Well, I'll also post, it'll be all spiritual things and about the book. And for anybody who reads the book and has any questions, I also created an email address, spiritualhealth2019@gmail.com. I'd be happy to answer any questions if people wanted to email me.
That's a great idea. I love that you're doing the Facebook site, because that's been proven to be such a good method of feeling like a sense of belonging and community for people to come in and, you know, and have one topic that they can share 20 topics deep. So I'm glad that you're doing that. So as I said, I want to have you back on the show because it's so hard. 30 minutes goes by so fast. Is there anything else that you'd like to cover or say to anybody as we leave?
I would just say one of the other important factors is to, once you learn to feel that love and receive that love, is sharing that love. You know, learning to, I love the saying, learning to be an instrument of the love, like sharing the love, radiating the love with others. It's very important.
Not just to receive, but to
give. And to be grateful. Gratitude, very important also.
Okay, awesome. Namaste.
Namaste.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us on Coach Couch and Coffee Radio. I want to give you a heads up that next Monday, the 13th, I'm going to talk to you about getting real. My topic is actually no more BS. You know, one of my biggest mantras is to get real in your real world and to make sure that we meet you where you are and we get rid of this cookie cutter mentality, this type A mentality. So that's what I'm going to be right at you directly one-on-one next Monday. So thank you for joining me today, joining Rob. You can reach out and find him. You can find me here every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern. So I'm going to let you go. We're going to go to commercial and I want you to come back for the after party because I'm going to chat with you about a few more things. So come on back.
Thank you for listening to Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wells. Did you hear something that made you go, or have an aha moment? I live for those. If not, we will get you next time. I will be back every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific to tough love you to become smarter, stronger, braver, healthier, and happier. Duh. I will be back with a barrel of positivity, and you never know when a guest might pop in. There is no time for excuses. So don't forget to bring your coffee and an open mind as we talk all things wellness on Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wells. Now go grab a ray of sunshine.